Heavenly Father, we just pray that you would bless this time that we spend studying together. Lord, that you would give us ears to hear what it is that you have to say to us this evening, Lord, that it would not be my words, Lord, that you would use me to lead this study time now. And so we just pray that you would be in the midst of us, and this will be for your glory and your glory alone. And we just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so as we saw this morning, we're going to start this new Sunday evening series on fellowship over the next couple of weeks. And as Sim said, you know, we look at Acts 2:42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And so we've talked a lot about doctrine. Most of our studies, doctrine comes into that. Communion and breaking of bread and prayers, we've done series on those. Maybe haven't talked so much about fellowship, and so we're going to dive into that over the next couple of weeks. So just quickly, fellowship, just in case you weren't sure, it actually comes from the Greek word koinonia, and it's translated in this passage from Acts as fellowship, but it's also often translated as communion, not as in communion that we take, but communion of the saints and those kind of things. Communication, distribution, contribution, and to communicate. If you look at the English translation of fellowship, it's a group that joins together for a common purpose or interest. And of course, we are a Christian fellowship together. So we are joined together for that common purpose. And of course, our common purpose is so much more than a worldly fellowship. And we're told, like the early church, not to give up meeting together. You can't fellowship on your own. You need the rest of us to fellowship together. And so we're going to go through this series. We're going to look tonight at how we welcome people. And then we will continue through looking at hospitality next week, accountability the week after, separation the week after that. Then we'll break for our communion, and then we'll have submission and unity after that. But it's in the name, isn't it? We're Deal Christian Fellowship. Do you know, I've got to be honest with you now, completely honest with you at this point. This is a tough one for me to teach, because I know that I am not the most welcoming. I am not the most chatty. I can tell you, if I'm being completely honest, when I walk through the door and see a new person here, I breathe a sigh of relief when one of you is talking to them and I don't have to. I have this feeling of dread when I see someone sitting there on their own and think, oh, I'm going to have to go and talk to them. I was musing about this, I was laughing. Joe and I had a conversation, it was a long time ago now. Joe and I had a conversation. I said, you know what, Joe, it's been about 4 or 5 weeks now. I'm going to have to go and talk to that army man and his family at some point. And of course, Matt is now one of my dear friends. But at that time, and also no, he's not an army man, but that's... You know, I don't know about you, some of you, I always used to find it was good to have a job, because then you could be busy in church. You could be doing something and somebody else would have to go and talk to the new people. But you know, this is not an exclusive club. This is not a place. This is a family. This is a fellowship together. We should welcome people from all walks of life, all backgrounds, all cultures, all social standing, as we heard in our reading just now. We shouldn't show partiality to anyone. And we all have a place to welcome people as they come in. I thought this was going to be easy. And the more I studied, the more I realised there are so many different layers. Because actually, how do we welcome each other when we come into the fellowship? And then we have visitors. Yeah, the fellowship, it's not an exclusive club you don't join, but we are a collection of people together. And then we have other people that come in. We have fellow believers that come in for whatever reason. We have those people that come in that aren't believers, but they're seeking. They're broken, they've got questions, they need help. Then we have people who don't believe at all. We have people that walk through the door, particularly some of our kids' clubs and things like that. We have parents that drop their children off because it's a nice, safe place to leave them for the evening. We've all been here when we've had weddings, dedications, other events, where you can tell there's some people that just don't believe a word of what they hear. And they can range from the friendly to the downright hostile even, that they're not interested. And then interestingly, Bob asked me this morning whether I was ready for tonight, and I was amazed at how many parallels between things I had prepared for this evening came up this morning. Because there will also be people that come in here that follow a different gospel, that want to maybe pervert what we're doing, bring their own view. And then, of course, there's people who are, you know, out of all of those, there are people maybe who are on holiday, who come in once. There are people who live in the town who are coming for another reason. So we're just going to take a quick look at each of those, 10 minutes on each. Matt can get a later train and we'll all be fine. So each other. And actually, when you think about fellowship, this is the most important bit. It's how do we welcome each other? You're not here by chance. We're not here by chance. We're here tonight. We're here on a Sunday morning. We're here as part of this fellowship because for whatever reason, this is where God wants us to be right now. And it might be you're here for the rest of your life. It might be that you're going to move on at some point, move away. We've had that many times over the years. But for now, you're part of this fellowship and you're here for a reason. You know, Spurgeon said, I'm told that Christians do not love each other. And I'm very sorry if that be true, but I rather doubt it, for I suspect that those who do not love each other are not Christians. We're told in John, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you love one another. By this, we'll all know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. You know, if you've been a Christian for a while, that's an easy one, isn't it? We know that one. I can read that one. I can pretty much do that one off by heart. But actually doing what it says, showing love for one another. You know, when you walk in here on a Sunday morning, on a Sunday evening, when we welcome each other in here, it shouldn't feel like the welcome you get at work on a Monday morning. It shouldn't feel like when you go in the pub to meet people. It shouldn't feel like when you meet your friends outside. It should feel like you've come home and your family have welcomed you home. You should be able to feel the love when you walk in here. We should love each other. We should build each other up. We've seen, I'm not going to repeat all of the studies we've had, but we know we should be servants to each other. We should forgive each other. We should bear each other's burdens. People who love each other are pleased to see each other. If you remember the Adrian Plass poem when he talks about how they're screaming and shouting at each other in the car and then they walk into church and it's all sweetness and light. And I know I have been part of other groups. You know, sometimes things get tense in a music group before a service and things like that when maybe the sound's not going right or somebody has a slightly different view on the timing of that song and all those kind of things. It's so easy to get drawn into that. But you should be able to feel the love when we come in. You know, we're told to greet each other, to welcome each other with a holy kiss. I'm not going to dive into that too much right now. Certainly not suggest we start kissing each other all the time. But it has this sense of brotherly, sisterly affection that we are a family. Yeah, Romans, greet each other. Oh, sorry, I woke you up, didn't it? Romans 16:16, greet one another with a holy kiss. Corinthians 16:20, all the brethren greet you, greet one another with a holy kiss. 2 Corinthians 12:13, greet one another with a holy kiss. 1 Thessalonians 5:26, greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. It's not just mentioned once, there's a few of them. Yeah, I went recently to visit a company in Maidstone. It's run by a married couple who are Christians. And they decided when they started their company that they were going to be overtly Christian in their business. It's a secular business. It works in the secular world. It's the same. It's similar websites and things like that to my day job. But they start their working day with a devotional. They pray before meetings with clients. And I was asking him, how does this go? How does this work? You know, are all your staff Christians? No, not all of their staff are Christians. But the feedback from the members of staff who aren't Christians is that you can still feel the love in that place. You can still feel that they care for each other. The feedback is from all of them is they've never worked anywhere that's so caring and supportive as that. And if a company can do that, we should do that. But that starts with how we welcome each other, how pleased we are to see each other. And if we go back to being brutally honest, I don't know about you, but I know I could do better. I think, actually, looking around tonight, I have spoken to all of you at some point. But I know if you look around on a Sunday morning when there's more people here, there are some people that I've never had a proper conversation with. So, how do we welcome each other? And then how do we welcome visitors? Ultimately, we have no idea why that person came through the gate that time. What caused them to come, having had invitations to barbecues and other events they've never been to? Why did they come to this one? We've got no idea what challenges are going on in their life at that time, where they stand with the Lord. At that point, they come through the door. And that's where our reading earlier about not giving preference to anyone, we should treat them all the same. We should be a welcoming, loving place. You know, I was thinking about this and my ability to welcome people. When I was 16, so it was, I remember it still now, it was the year that I got my GCSE results. I was on the path to becoming a bit more of a rebel. I was going to church a little bit because mum and dad made me, but outside of that, I'd started smoking. I was hanging around with people I shouldn't do, and I probably should have known better. And we went on a holiday family holiday down to Plymouth somewhere, and there was a youth outreach on the beach or on the quay. And they were singing, and they were doing some drama, and they were handing out leaflets. So they looked like they were having a really lovely time. And they were inviting people to an evening service. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to go. And I can remember saying to mum and dad at the time, sorry, but I want to go to their evening service. They changed the plans for holiday. They dropped me off at this evening service, and they took my sister off, and they had a meal somewhere, and they left me to this evening service. And I walked in, and I sat at the back of this church, and I watched, and I listened, and all of these young people were together at the front having a great time, and they were congratulating themselves on what a wonderful day they'd had. I listened to the whole of that service. Nobody spoke to me. I left at the end. I purposely didn't sulk out at the end. I waited, hung around for a little bit. Nobody said a word, and I left. Now, thank God, that wasn't my only experience of church. But what if that had been? What if that had been the one time that I had made the effort to go in? What would my view of Christians be as a result of that? And I'm not blaming them. I've been in those situations. For me, it's an illustration. They'd had a good day. They'd had fun. They were with their friends. They didn't actually want to break up their friendship group to go and talk to the kid that had walked in from the back. But we have no idea why people come in. And as I say, praise the Lord that that wasn't my one experience, and actually I learned more from it. But we don't know. As we just saw, I won't read this again, but we shouldn't show partiality. Yeah, there was another story, actually not that long ago, of a church down in Great Yarmouth that had a public meeting amongst themselves to discuss how they were going to deal with homeless situation in their town. During the event, a homeless man came in seeking shelter, and they asked him to leave. That man was later, he was escorted out by their church security. And the church received locally widespread criticism for what was seen as obviously a stark contradiction between the message being preached and their actions. But would we have done any better if somebody walked in now? Yeah, in my other part of life where I'm out as a policeman and you meet homeless people and drug addicts and things like that, if one of them walked in now, it's hard. It's hard not to show partiality. But even amongst ourselves, even with other people, I'm sure you've all experienced when you're talking to somebody and they ask you, how are you going? And you're in the middle of giving an answer and somebody more interesting walks in and you can tell they're not listening to you anymore. They're trying to get away to talk to someone else. Yeah, we're going to get people walking through this door. We don't know why they've come in. We're told in Hebrews 13, let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know whether I have ever entertained an angel. I certainly, as I was thinking about this, I think we all think we're expecting a nativity scene angel with great big wings and a halo and sparkling lights, and I certainly have never entertained anyone like that. But either way, again, we've got no idea where that person is when they walk through the door. You might be the first person they've spoken to all day, all week. We should show the love of God to everyone that walks through the door, because they're either fellows and brothers and sisters in Christ, or they're sinners in need of Saviour. There's nowhere in the middle. They're one or the other. And then, this is where it gets trickier, we need to discern which one they fall into, which category. they fall into. Do you know, if they're fellow believers, I don't know about you, but if you ever meet someone who genuinely shares your faith, you can tell. Within a few minutes of talking to them, when we've been to men's conferences and teach the word, you can talk to someone that you've never met before and you can tell pretty quickly, usually, that there's some kind of connection. And of course, that connection is we have the same Heavenly Father. But even within that, we've got people, we have families that come on holiday. And then we have people from the town move to the town looking for a Bible-based church. You know, it's an easier category in that they should feel the love, they should feel welcomed. You know, we have no way of knowing God's plans for any of them. And I was thinking about this, I suspect JP never thought he was going to end up here. You know, JP met some Bible-believing Christians. He went from Mansfield to York to Deal. You know, we are all brothers and sisters, and I think I woke him up now, right there. But so. Yeah, just another quick story of fellow believers. When we moved to Deal, I was 11. I didn't know anybody. We moved in some holiday between me going from primary school to secondary school. So we had no friends. We moved here. We were going as a family around different churches to decide where we were going to go, where we were going to end up. We went to St George's, and some of you will remember there was a lovely man called Brian Charter who spoke to me. It was the only church we'd been to where somebody spoke to me as an 11-year-old boy. He took interest in me. He took me to get a biscuit, which has probably helped. And as we walked out of that church, I said to the rest of the family, I don't care where the rest of you are going, I'm going to that church. Then we've got the people seeking. Yeah, ultimately, Lord willing, it's not us that adds to the church, but ultimately the goal of all of our outreach, of our Hope Explored, of our barbecues, of our kids' clubs, is to encourage people to come and respond and to hear more of the gospel. As I've already said before, we've got no idea why somebody comes in, why that one leaflet is the first one they read that they come in, why that first kids' club is the first time they talk to one of the leaders. But we should lovingly listen to them. We shouldn't preach at them at that point. We should encourage them. But when somebody comes in, whose job is it to talk to them? Is it my job? Is it your job? Is it Sims? Is it the elders? The pastor? Whose job is it? And the answer is, it's all of ours. Yeah, 1 Peter 3:15 says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defence to everyone that asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. What would you do if somebody came and sat next to you next Sunday morning and poured out the 100 theological questions they had that they've been building up, or poured out the pain that's in their heart? Would you run a mile? I know I'd be tempted to. I'd be looking around for somebody else to come and help me with that conversation pretty quickly, for sure. But you know, Mark tells us that we shouldn't worry about what we're going to say. In those situations, the Holy Spirit will give us the words. But this is part of the fellowship, I think, that we are a fellowship together. We actually have a responsibility to each other, to look out for each other as well. I remember one particular Sunday, somebody came in and was quizzing me about Revelation, and I just felt trapped in the corner. And he wouldn't leave it alone. He kept going and going and going. We should actually watch out for each other as well. We should be able to interject. You know, we are all at different stages of our walk. And some more mature Christians, some new, fresh Christians. And it's us as a fellowship together. It's us welcoming somebody in who's seeking. We should support and look after each other. Then we have the people that don't believe. As I said, they can be everything from friendly. I think it's quaint that we have these little old fairy tale beliefs, down to hostile, looking to trip us up, looking to argue with us. But you know, it's not their fault. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. We need to welcome these people in. We need to understand that they're not going to understand. As I said, you know, you look at some of the dedication services we've had and things like that, you can tell they think it's all a bunch of mumbo jumbo. They're not really interested, but they're not going to be. They're not going to get it. Until they've met the Lord, until they know the Lord, they're not going to get it. We should welcome them in and we should talk to them. We should pray for them that one day their heart will be softened. We would have opportunities to share with them. We shouldn't give up on them. But ultimately, we need to accept that at the moment, they're visitors. They're not part of our fellowship right now. And we need to treat them as we would. And we need to move from welcoming to witnessing. And then this is where there was so much parallel for me this morning with what we went through this morning. And I can honestly tell you I had forgotten that we were going through Galatians when I started to prepare this. And my first reading in this section was Galatians 1, 6 to 12 we went through this morning. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that which we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. There will be people that want to cause trouble when they come in here. There will be people that want to sow discord. There will be people that want to try and pervert the gospel. We need to be able to discern. We need to know whether it's a weaker brother that needs loving correction. Often you can tell, been in churches long enough, you can tell they come in, they're fixated on one particular point of doctrine or a social issue, and they can't talk about anything else. They want to focus on that. But again, we're a fellowship. We are welcoming. It's like welcoming people into your home. It's welcoming people into your family. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. Although if you notice, it's one of the reasons that we don't give people jobs in our fellowship until they've been here a couple of months, 6 months. And we get to see what their heart is really like and the fruits of what they believe. Yeah, you shouldn't be afraid when you get cornered by someone. Speak to the pastor, one of the elders, someone else. Yeah, the job of a shepherd is to protect the flock. And there will be times when we have difficult conversations. As we look in the coming weeks, we're going to look at separation from the fellowship. But we're called to be set apart, to be salt and light. We're not called to be all things to all people. Some people may be offended by our stance, but as long as we're basing it on his word and we do things through love, we're not going to go far wrong, no matter who we initially welcome into our fellowship. Let's bow our hearts to pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that your word has everything we need. Lord, that your word is sufficient for us. Lord, we thank you that you have placed us here in this fellowship. Lord, for whatever reason, Lord, we pray that you would give us all loving hearts. Lord, that we would love each other. Lord, that when people come in to visit, they would know that we are disciples by your love, by the love that we have for each other. And Lord, we pray that we would be an open, welcoming church. Lord, that when people walk through those gates, they would just sense that there's something different. There's a love here. Lord, give us boldness to speak to new people, to witness, to encourage, to challenge. But Lord, most of all, we pray that you would continue to help us be based on your word. Lord, that everything we do would be from your gospel, for your gospel. Lord, that we would not be turned aside, but Lord, we would stay true to your word. But most of all, Lord, that we would do all of that for your glory and not our own. And we just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.